story to tell right here. This is a $100 bill. $100 bill that I'm going to keep. Wow, I wasn't going to do this, but I am. If I just do that and throw it down, do you still want it?
Yes.
Oh, you do. Because it's still a $100 bill. If I rubbed it on a nasty old dog, you'd still want it. Because it's a $100 bill. Yeah, well, why do you look at yourself like that, like God doesn't want you? Because you're a $100 bill. The value that he finds in you is beyond what you think your value is. He loves you crazy. That wasn't part of the story. Here's the story. After service last Sunday night, Jim Hahn walked in and hands me a $100 bill. Well, I knew he wasn't going to give me $100. I'm just kidding, Jim. He said, this guy, and let me explain this story. We have a guy that rides a tricycle, big tricycle. And we help him. Yes. And we help him a lot. And so he hands this to Jim and says, what? Give it to the church. Could he trust you? Didn't he ask you if he could trust you to give it to the church? Yeah, I thought he did. And so I only caught the end of it. Now, the cool thing is Jim was coming back to the door, and I was walking out, and I saw his taillights because he's lit up at night. He's got taillights on his on his tricycle. And it's a big tricycle, by the way. It's not a little one. Yeah. Anyway, so you should feel bad. No, I'm kidding. I will get this in the offer, and I just wanted to tell the story. It's amazing. He should have kept this $100 bill. And probably why he ended up giving it to you, because I wouldn't have probably tried to take it. But the truth is, it reminds me of when we have churches in India, and I was in India, and this guy had just had his leg amputated. I have never, ever known anybody that had the joy of the Lord like this guy. And again, India amputation is different than ours. You know what I'm saying. And he was on a homemade crutch, and he had asked us to stop by so that I could pray for him. So we went there, and I didn't really want to stop, to be honest with you, but I was being obedient to our translator. And anyway, so we stopped. What joy there was, and we held hands as he leaned against the wall because he only had one leg. He had just been out of the hospital a couple months. And of course, I'm weeping because of tons of things that were going on in my heart. But I start to leave, and he shakes my hand, and he hands me 50 rupee. 50 rupee is 50 cents, but it represents 2 days' wage because they average about 25 cent U.S. dollars. So he hands me that, and I tried not to take it, but I did, and I felt like David. Remember when David said he was thirsty, and they went and killed all them guys and brought him back a cup of water, and he poured it out, because he said, man, he just honored them by pouring it out. I still have it, by the way, if you ever want to see it. I have a picture of him next to his crutch with the 50 rupee that he gave me, and that's what this kind of reminds me of. He certainly could have used this a whole lot more than the church, but I am believing God will continue to bless him, and that this will turn into $100,000. Amen. Amen. Here, I'll give it to my wife because I'll try to spend it. Gay's like, I would not. Oh, you're exactly right. You know, I could rob a bank, but I couldn't steal from a church. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like when people will steal Bibles from here sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, wow, okay, well, just read it. If you're going to steal it, you just read it. Walter, is that you, Walter Firm?
Been a long time.
Been a long time. Walter Firm used to be, the Walter Firm, you used to have the we don't need an emotional day today. Walter Firm had the tire store down the street when we first came. And I can't tell you the times that he would hand me money for the church and how many times he'd fix a tire for free or put a tire on the vehicle for free. Oh, Walter, good to see you, man. Okay, let's do a message today, shall we? Wow. Yeah, I'm pretty done now, right? I just preached two messages just real quick. So we've been talking about the battle, haven't we? So last week we talked about David and Goliath. Remember that? Boy, was that a loud battle or what? Just Goliath screaming and yelling, and David screaming and yelling, everybody screaming and yelling. Of course, God took care of all that. But this week, we're actually going to get back to where we kind of started. I kind of started just jumping battles. But at the first of the year, 2020, remember 2020? It's so much there, 2020 vision. But I showed you that in the Word that it was 20 years, after 20 years is when they started moving forward. And I talked about Joshua and how the Word says to be strong and courageous, and how as you walk in this thing called life, and you start taking territory that you've never seen before, how uncomfortable that is, which is why God told him to be strong and courageous. So anyway, so now we're finally to the Battle of Jericho. So we go from this loud battle mouth battle to this eerie silence in the fight. So that's what we want to talk about today. So just so you know, this land that they were going into to be theirs, this land wasn't going to be theirs without having to face some difficult times and some strong opposition. That's what a battle is, strong opposition. So some of us, watch this, some of us have never entered our promised land because we can never get through Jericho. See, we simply give up and quit. We grow tired of marching and seeing nothing progress. Jericho's reputation, by the way, was a city that could not be captured. They had the monster wall. They were known as mean people. Nobody thought they could ever be defeated. But here's the truth. God's people couldn't get to the promised land unless they went through Jericho. See, because all things promised to them were on the other side of Jericho. You need to get that. We got to get through our Jericho to get to the promises that God has promised you, not just individually, but us corporately. And let's even take the United States in on this, shall we? So here's the story. You know I love to tell the story, love to read the story. So now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. The reason they were afraid of the Israelites is because they had heard what God had done for them, splitting the sea and all that kind of stuff. So they had a reputation and they were afraid of them. So no one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all of its strong warriors. I have given you. It hasn't happened yet, but I have given you. Here's the promise of God. I have given you this. Rather than I have given you this. I love that. So you and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days, and seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. And on the seventh day, you're to march around the town seven times with the priest blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can, then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. So here you have, for 7 days, they're to march around the city, and for all their effort and their energy that they spent, nothing would happen. And here's what I want you to see. I'm going to show you here in this scripture. Nowhere in this story does it say that God told Israel what we just read. He told it to Joshua, and then Joshua gave the orders. What am I saying? I'm saying Joshua is the one who knew. All right? Joshua is the one who knew, and he just gave instructions, and they did the instructions. So let's go to the next part. This is where it happens. So Joshua called together the priests and said, take up the Ark of the Lord's covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people. He's the one, you hear it, he's the one that's hearing and seeing what God has said. This is funny to me. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town. The armed men will lead the way in front of the Ark of the Lord. So after Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. And the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. And some of the armed men marched in front of the priests containing some of the priests with the horns and some behind the Ark, with the priest continually blowing the horns. So they've been instructed, we're going to beat up Joshua, but first, we're just going to walk around the town. You know, we're going to scope it out. I'm sure that's what they're thinking. We're going to scope it out. We're going to figure it out. We're going to scope it out. We're going to decide. And what I love about this story, too, is notice that he had protection in the front of God's presence, which is the Ark of the Covenant, and behind the Ark of the Covenant, because they didn't have any idea what these people, Jericho, were going to do. So here's where this gets really interesting to me. Josh, here he comes. Do not shout. Don't even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout, and then you shout. So the Ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everybody else returned to camp. Do not shout. Don't even say a word. This is what happens when you listen to the Father. In the vocation that I've chosen, being a pastor for years and years and years, that is one thing Gay and I have learned begrudgingly, but we've learned. Rather than even talk to each other about it, we try to remain silent and really believe that the battle is the Lord's and not our own. Because what happens is, we get caught up in what we have decided the battle is, but the truth is the Lord is the one who will deliver them. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your fingers off of Facebook. Somebody's like, oh man, you just nail me. So here they've been instructed. Watch this. This is greatness. Because you know what that means? When he told them to be quiet and not say a word, that means that nobody was grumbling or complaining. How powerful is that? The whole time that they were in the wilderness, what was their downfall? They grumbled and complained. So here they are, been instructed. God's promised us the enemy. And we're going to walk around this town in total silence with a horn blowing on occasion. That's going to get the job done right there. You got to know that those people on the wall, after a couple days, were mocking them. What a weird army. This is who we're supposed to fear. Wow. So, silence is an amazing thing. So he instructs them that. So I'm sure they're doing rolling of the eyes at each other, like, but they're not, at least they're not saying nothing. On occasion, a horn toot, toot, toot. Yeah, actually, it was more a shofar. So, but here's what's interesting, too. Little did they know that they would have to walk in silence for a week, a whole week. Now, see, I'm a talker. I mean, some people, you know, I even go back to my kids. Leah was probably the quietest of them. In other words, if I was going to try to punish Leah and tell her to go to her bedroom, she wouldn't come out for a week. She'd be fine because she would set up toys and play with them and stuff. Jake, totally different story. He was asking me every 5 seconds, can I come out now? 5 minute timeout for him. And he's asking after 30 seconds. Time up your dad. No, son. You know, so some people can get this, but some people, it's more difficult because we're talkers. But they had to walk in silence for a week. So here, let's continue the story. It gets better. So Joshua got up early the next morning after the first day they walked around, and the priest again carried the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests with the ram's horn marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. And again, the armed men marched both in front of the priests and the horns and behind the ark of the Lord. And all this time, the priests were blowing their horns. They didn't have chapstick, ladies and gentlemen. They had to be worn out with this. So all the time, the priests were blowing their horns. So on the second day, they again marched around the town once and returned to camp. And they followed this same pattern for 6 days. Do you see this? 6 long days. So here it is, the city's watching. As strong as ever, that city is. 6 trips around the wall, in the hot sun and the dust, being mocked, and nothing has changed. Nothing. God hasn't shown his hand. All they're doing is feeling stupider and stupider, getting tireder and tireder. Then the next day, they're going to have to walk it 7 times. Joshua's crazy. Joshua didn't hear the Lord. Come on, they couldn't talk, but they talked back at the camp. I guarantee you they talked back at the camp. What in the world have we got into here? Man, are you marching around those people mocking us and blah, 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 blah? So here's what the truth is, in my opinion. They were tired and just ready to fight to get it over with. You get what I'm saying? It's like, man, if we're going to go get killed, let's go get it over with. Let's go ahead and charge the city, even though they got all this wall up. Charge the city. Let's just get it over with. And I'm sure, again, I said this a while ago, in the eyes of the enemy, this was a strange array of looking completely and totally harmless. They had to have started to think, these people are crazy. A week. Do you hear me? Listen, remember when Pokemon thingy app was hot? For about a week, at any point in time, at night, whatever, there they came. They would be walking, you know, here and in the parking lot and stuff. And I'm like, what in the world? I'm going out there and they're on their phones. And then finally somebody told me they're chasing a Pokemon. I didn't ever get into that app. But how strange it was. So think of that. If just at random, just a group of people were blowing horns and walking around the church just one time during the day, and then 7 times. Which, by the way, Jericho was about 9 acres, so a good brisk walk would be about 15 minutes if they took their time, and I'm sure they did. It would take a while. And then, so get that picture in your brain, please. They did the walk, and then they'd go back to camp and sit. And then the next day, they'd do the same thing and go back to camp and sit. And then the next day, they'd do the same thing and go back to the camp and sit. I'm telling you, Joshua's crazy. They had to have this in their brain because they hadn't got to hear the end result. They hadn't got to hear that the Lord said, I have already given them to you, and those walls are coming down. Joshua's the one that knew it. So here's what happened. We're almost done today, y'all. On the seventh day, seven. What does 7 mean, Gay Van Zandt? You said it Wednesday. Completion. That's the number in the Bible. The seven is the number of completion. So on the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn, totally frustrated. I'm adding that because I'm a person. All right? Are you a person? Then are you happy about walking around a stupid city 6 times with horns blowing? Probably not. So on the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn. At dawn this time. The other days, it didn't say at dawn. So now, get up early because we're going to have a long walk today. On the seventh day, they got up at dawn and marched around the town as they'd done before. But this time, they went around the town 7 times. 7 times. 7 times. So I'm sure on the second round, they're thinking, what in the world? He's just trying to kill us, just, you know, by just physical exercise. He's trying to kill us. So the seven. So, but this time they went around the town seven times. Verse 16. The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns. So it went from to all of a sudden. All the people in Jericho are going, oh, brother. All right, yeah. And then I just had this feeling that there was this, they'd been silent, that there, before Joshua said to shout, that there was this eerie silence. And I'm sure that the army of Israel were probably prepared to fight with their bow and with their swords, and I'm sure they were ready to go to their death in their thought. But when Joshua said, shout, for the Lord has given you the town, Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared. The reason she said that Rahab was the one who had hid the guys that had gone in there to check out the promised land and see what was busy or what it was all about. And she hid them because they found out they were there, and she sent them a different way. Anyway, she protected them. So they made a deal with her and her family. You leave that rope hanging down out of the wall of your house, and you and your family make sure everybody's in there, because if your family ain't in there, they're going to get killed. But you make sure everybody's in there, and then you'll be saved. That's what that story's all about. But here's what I love. 7 days of silence, nothing has happened. I have to believe that Israel, when the walls came down, some scholars are funny. Some will say it crumbled. Some will say it went straight down. You know, whatever. It was, the bottom line is down. And common sense tells me it had to kind of fall down so they could have a ramp to get up and get in there to get them. You know what I'm saying? So then they shout. And then are shocked that the walls that were protecting the enemy had fallen down. That's greatness. That's greatness right there. So here they are, weapons in hand, ready to fight to their death when told to. And they had no idea. They had no idea that the shout of praise was all that they needed. Do you hear what I'm saying today? This goes into our lives. We figure things out. We think things out. We decide what's supposed to be truth. We're gonna fix it, or we're going to try to turn around and fix it, or we're going to try to find somebody else to help us fix it, or we're going to go to a seminar and figure out how to fix it, or we're going to listen to a YouTube video to help us figure it out how to fix it. And the whole truth, all we have to do is a shout of praise. A shout of praise. Remember that song, Shout to the Lord, all you people rejoice. You remember that song, all you youngsters over there? I'm pointing at youngsters, and Dad's going, I remember that song. So here's the final of what's said in this whole story. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. And suddenly, man, do a word on suddenly in the Bible. It's awesome. How many suddenlies are cool. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. They shouted to the Lord. Here's what I want you to see. First of all, as in all these other battles that we've talked about, the battle was won without a single arrow being shot from a bow. The other thing I want you to see very clearly, neither Jericho's people nor Israel's people had any clue concerning the weapons that Israel carried weren't their own. The enemy didn't know. Israel didn't know. But they walked into the place of victory Not just because of a shout of praise, but because the shout of praise is what motivated the hand of God to complete the victory. Are you not tired of battling in your life? Are you not tired of it? Trying to figure it out and trying to get it. You know, I need a second job. No, shout. You know, man, my health. Shout. Man, that guy's on my last. Shout. Praise to the Lord. Father, I don't have the answers, but I love you. Huh? Well, then shout, shout. Let's see how good y'all can shout. Go. Shout, go. You can't. Come on. Shout, shout. Shout, the Cowboys win the Super Bowl. Oh! Here's what Israel didn't know. And here's what Jericho didn't know. And the Apostle Paul knew it very well. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Oh, we do war according to the flesh, but we don't win according to the flesh. How many times do I have to tell you, every battle that was won in the Bible, is in the Old Testament, every battle that was won by God's hand. And the times that they decided to fight without God are the times they got their backside kicked. It's the truth. In fact, well, I'll show you this next week. We'll go to Ai, which is the town after this, because that's what happened. They didn't obey what God had instructed them to do. They decided to fight on their own, and then they got whipped, and then then they're like, oh, where was God? Well, every time, every battle is won by God. You've never won a battle in your life. Hear what I'm saying. Because the second you try to take it, there's no winning in that. But he wins every battle. Whatever you're fighting right now in your heart and in your system, the battle in your mind that you're not good enough for God, that's one of the greatest enemies, the tricks that the enemy uses, that somehow you've done something so bad that God doesn't love you, doesn't care about you. It's a lie from the pit of hell. That is the enemy, and that wall needs to come down. Because the truth is, Jesus died for you, not because you were great, but because he's great. You get it? He died for you so that, and I've said this and I'll say it till I'm dead, so that when God looks at the cross, he sees your ugly self and every bit of dirty part of you. But when he looks at you, he sees Jesus, because it's Jesus who did that for us. Do you get it? It's the truth. And you go back into the Old Testament. Listen to me. You go back to the Old Testament, right? And you go to even where they did the animal sacrifices. And the Bible says that they had to have a perfect lamb to bring for this sacrifice. So the sinner brought the lamb to the sacrifice, right? And the priest would check out the lamb to make sure that the lamb was perfect. The priest never looked at the sinner. Christ died once and for all of us. So that we can live and have real life. And if you're sitting there thinking he's against you, you're wrong. He's for you. I can't tell you how much he's for you. If he's for this piece of dirt, and we're all pieces of dirt, by the way, then he's for you. I'm older than most of you, so that means I've had longer to be a terrible person than you have. Do you get it? Older. I'm 27. I look old for 27, don't I? But I look young for 84. I didn't finish this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for our weapons of warfare are not of the flesh. So when you spew, it's flesh. When you put your hands to it, it's flesh. When you decide what's right and what's wrong, it's flesh. Pick your poison, it's flesh. It's flesh, but watch this. But are not flesh, but divinely powerful for what? The destruction of Jericho. When we take our hands off of our life and we allow Jesus to become a part of it, things change, and I'm a great example of that. I was the king of self-hatred back in the day. I hated me. Listen to this. It's true. You know, people are like, oh, you got such a good personality. No, I hated me. But man, when I recognize that here's the guy who the Bible says loves me more than I love myself and knows me better than anybody else, holy smoke, he's alive. He's king. He's the one. God is great. I'm not. Get it over it. But man, when I walk in Him, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And when I stay in Christ, I am as righteous as anybody. When I'm out of Christ, my righteousness is as filthy as rags, as the Bible says. Christ is everything to me. I am nothing. Do you get it? When we get to that point in our life where we can say, I am nothing, but He is everything. I'm staying right here in Him. That's where growth comes. That's where you start loving people that you used to hate. That's where you'll stop habits that you used to have. You get it? When it's all about Him, why do you think the shout of praise was important? Because the shout of praise wasn't a shout of praise for me and my ability. The shout of praise was for God. God listens when we tell Him we're grateful. God listens. He does. Come on. Do you have children? Your children are ungrateful. You don't want to give them nothing for Christmas. If your children, my granddaughter, Leah Evans, she went to Disney with us this year, and she was so grateful. It makes you want to buy them everything. Because it was legit gratitude. It wasn't just fake gratitude. It wasn't turning their nose up at, oh, is that all the gift I got? Well, how come Johnny had 10 gifts and I only have 9? You know, it wasn't none of that. She was so grateful. In fact, we would go in a store and I would I would stare at her eyes to see if I could really tell if she liked something. And she would look at something and she'd stay on it for a half a second longer. And then she'd walk away and I'd grab it and I'd say, do you really like that? Well, yeah. Leah. Well, yeah. Yeah, man. Rather than, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this. That's how we do God, right? God's our big slot machine. Put a faith quarter in the slot and pull the trigger and all this stuff. It doesn't how it works. Shout to Him. Love Him. So, I am finished except for these last thoughts. The battle is the Lord's, not ours. In, watch this, in fullness of time and with the wisdom of silence, the victory will come. And it did, and it came big time for them. So my last point is this. I had sent this to my wife. She said, you should say that on Sunday, so I'm going to say it. There would be no battle to be won if there were no enemy to defeat. Right. You're not your own enemy. Your boss isn't your enemy. Your spouse isn't your enemy. Your finances aren't your enemy. Your disease is not your enemy. No, no, no. We know who the enemy is. And God is, allow God to fight the battle. Because you know why you want Him to fight your battle? Because He always wins. That's it.
This is not expected, but could I ask Dwayne and Renee and Mike, if you guys would come back up and sing Nothing Is Impossible? Well, I think Mike can handle this.
Mike had to leave. Not really.
Mike's coming. I just think it's important for us to remember who we serve, because nothing is impossible to God.
Nothing.
And I want us to be confident today. God has already planned at the beginning of this. He already said there's going to be a victory. Guys, He's already told us there's going to be a victory. But sometimes when we read it, we don't hear it in our spirit. And so all the kings through the Old Testament would say, build an altar to remember. Set these stones. He even said, build it out of earth. But if you build it out of stones, don't touch them and cut them. Leave them like they are. And I want to tell you something. In the New Testament, Jesus has said, this is your altar, communion. This is the place to remember. No more are we building altars out of objects and things, but we are coming in and coming to the altar of communion to remember who He is. So today, we're going to stand and we're going to participate with those of you who would, thank you, Johnny, begin to move to help assist those with this. Zelmar, will you come up and hold this? Yes, there's 5 stations, 6 counting Steve's. If you'll come up and receive it, I'd just like for us to sing this song and to mean it, right?